And it's time to get on the Revel Wireless Hotline. And with us now is Tom Withers from the Associated Press, a regular on this show. Tom, how you doing?
Good, Vic. How about you?
Doing great. Back from the long road journey of Alabama and Louisiana, but it's great to be back in Berea. And a lot has gone on in these last couple of weeks. And I want to start with the coaching changes, the staff changes that start with offensive coordinator. North Turner and his presence on this team, Tom, I think that's the first place that a lot of people are going to point to with optimism for where they can see this team going.
I'm with you 100% on that, Vic. I think, you know, while there may have been some, you know, I don't want to say uncertainty or, you know, the Chudzinski hiring may have, you know, surprised a lot of people, but I think surrounding him with coordinators of the ilk of North Turner and Ray Horton is just a great move by the Browns. I mean, Turner brings in so much experience. You know, he's regarded as one of the top offensive minds in the NFL over the last probably several decades. He has head coaching experience. He's really done it all. So I think that was a real important hire. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with this offense. I mean, you know, now converting maybe from whatever label you want to put on it, a West Coast to a maybe more of a vertical passing game. But we all saw what he was able to do out in San Diego, not only with Phillip Rivers, but with running backs who, you know, were able to lead the league in rushing several years. So Turner has done it all, and I'm with you. I think it was a terrific hire.
You know, and it leads to really a lot of fascination over an intrigue, I guess is the better word, over what happens at quarterback. Because
right.
if it doesn't change, if Brandon Whedon is the guy, I mean, you could logically say he would get better working with Turner and, of course, working with Chudzinski, and I think he'd make some big strides. But that door is open for it to be someone else, and I'm just thinking, you know, it could go in a lot of different directions, but whoever that guy is, it would probably be attractive to a quarterback, say, who's on another team for the chance to work with North Turner.
You're exactly right on that, too. And it wouldn't be Cleveland, Vic, if we weren't talking about quarterbacks, would it?
So, right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, whether you're talking about potential free agents or young guys coming up through the draft or, as you said, Brandon Whedon, you know, growing under Turner's tutelage, it's a wonderful hire from that standpoint. You know, as I said before, you know, Norv has seen it and done it all. So I think it's exciting. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds over the next, you know, several weeks or months in terms of whether this new front office is behind Whedon, if they saw enough of him last year to feel like he can grow, if they're going to go in another direction. And now you've got to factor in also, you know, what Chudzinski has just experienced down in Carolina with Cam Newton and the read option and whether that's here to stay or just an NFL gimmick. So, yeah, there's a lot to still happen.
Yeah, a lot going on for sure in that quarterback spot and in that offense in general. You know, I think the thing that is probably, when we really look at it, is probably a plus that might be underestimated just because of the nature of the position. But the offensive line's soundness is something that probably doesn't get enough attention because it became a much better line than a year ago with all the problems but 2011 yeah. season, all the rotating at right tackle, the disaster really that position was, and that it got locked down, and that really the interior guys I think played to a higher level. I don't think they were Pro Bowlers certainly, but they played better football. Joe Thomas had his sixth Pro Bowl year. Alex Mack was reliable, and I think if you're not worrying about that, the other pieces that have to be enhanced or replaced or whatever offensively, I think you're starting at a much better place than you were a year ago this time.
1,000% right. I mean, you know, this new regime is coming in here, and there are at least some standing pillars. The entire thing has not been demolished. I mean, you're not working from debris. You're right. I thought Mitchell Schwartz came in and did a remarkable job this year for a right rookie tackle. And, you know, Joe Thomas, you know, nothing more needs to be said about Joe. And I thought Alex Mack had another solid year, and the guards, considering they had to make a switch there at left guard with Jason Pinkston going down, you know, they ended up doing a nice job. So wow. I'm with you. I think the offensive line as a whole played incredibly well all year. I thought Whedon got plenty of time to throw. Sure, were there some breakdowns here and there? Yeah. Was the running game maybe not what it should have been? Yeah. But, again, a young unit playing together for the first time, but as you said, I think a lot to build off of right there.
Tom Withers joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Tom, the greater angst, the bigger concern over where things might go just because of the conversion, not because of the guy in charge, because there's a lot of faith that Ray Horton coming in as a defensive coordinator will do a great job and I think make this defense effective. But there is this transition that a lot of folks are wringing their hands about. But I'm wondering now that as we look at it, the first step toward maybe getting this the way Ray Horton wants it to be was made yesterday with the release of Frosty Rucker. Just an indicator that there was a guy purely physically, when you look at him, that you probably couldn't see fitting in a 3-4.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to fit what Ray talked about last week, which is that he wants big guys who can run and little guys that can hit. So, you know, and Frosty, I thought, did a nice job last year. I thought there were some times where he was, you know, dominant up front. You know, he had a couple of really nice games. I thought he got better as the year went on. He seemed to kind of grow in that system a little bit and was a pretty valuable piece. But you're right, he's the first casualty of how this thing is morphing into something new. And you know, I've been told by many coaches over the last few years, Vic, not to get caught up on the labels of 3-4 and 4-3. I mean, let's be honest, the new NFL is molting looks on both sides of the ball, and you've got to be able to adapt, and you've got to be able to play a front that is going to stop whatever's coming at you. So whether that's a 2-5 or a 3-4 or a 4-3 or a 0-7 or whatever you want to call it, you've got to have guys who are able to run, who are able to tackle the ball carrier, who can put pressure on the quarterback. So I think people tend to get too caught up in that. But clearly, if you're looking for a particular type of player to fit that system, you know, you're going to have to find guys that fit what you want to do. And unfortunately for Frosty Rucker, he became the first one pushed aside.
Yeah, and again, no surprise that it happened. I thought it might have happened a little later on, but to the credit of the Browns, they gave him a chance to get some work.
Frosty. You know, I think this is more of a, you know, a contract casualty as well, Vic. You know, he had apparently a $2.5 million, you know, bonus, or his contract would be guaranteed had he been on the roster. So, you know, let's not forget that this is the big business of football too, and sometimes financial matters get into the way.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The other, I guess, thoughts here, Tom, is how the rest of this line shakes out with regard to the conversion. And, you know, the first place I'm going to go to is opposite Frosty Rucker is Jabal Sheard.
Yeah.
Because I see an athlete there who could drop the weight that I think he's going to have to lose to be more effective as an outside linebacker. I see a guy who definitely can work standing up, has the athletic ability to do that. And even though it might not be as natural to him as initially as it would be to some others, I think he has the capacity to convert. I also think he has the work ethic to, you know, once he's kind of given that program of what he needs to do, both in terms of conditioning and, you know, what the actual role is, I think he works at that pretty hard through this offseason.
I think Ray Horton looks at a guy like Jabal Sheard and just starts to drool and says, this is a football player. This is a kid that I can put into a two-point stance or a three-point or bring him off the edge or maybe tuck him inside or do a lot of things with him. I mean, he's just a good football player, Vic. And I thought there were times last year where, you know, his numbers, his statistical numbers, you know, be it sacks or pressures or whatever, didn't really reflect what a good season he was having. And Dick Geron, on a weekly basis, would remind us of that, that there were really a lot of things that Jabal was doing out there to be disruptive.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Horton takes a look at him and says, boy, that's a football player and, you know, somebody that the Browns are really going to need going forward.
Yeah, I think 1,000% on that. And I like how you put that. It's a football player. It's the athlete, the attitude, the aggressiveness. You know, he told me he becomes a different guy out there. He's a pretty mellow, I think, person away from the game. But when he's on the field, he said there's a whole different Jabal Sheard that takes over. And you know what? If you look at Ray Horton and the aggressive mentality that he wants this defense to embody, that I think is a reflection of his personality, that's a good fit.
No, you're exactly right. And I think maybe to a lesser degree, Billy Winn might fit into that category. I think here's a guy who showed some real mobility last year and maybe somebody you can move around a little bit as well. And then, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens then with Taylor and Reuben up front and how you might be able to utilize them in this defense. But, you know, Horton made a big point of it last week, Vic, in telling us He just wants an aggressive unit. He wants an attacking defense that's going to get pressure on the quarterback, and when you put pressure on the quarterback, that helps everybody.
Yeah, and if you take that as a base and then mm-hmm. look for the athletes who are versatile enough, and you mentioned Billy Winn, I think he's obvious. Phil Taylor I can see fitting in quite nicely as a nose tackle and filling that role well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he has to get any bigger to do that or not, how that's adjusted. It seems like he's the right size for what, you know, you think of, okay, Pittsburgh and Dick LeBeau and Casey Hampton, all the defensive roots of what Ray Horton's about. But Phil Taylor's not that, but I think Phil Taylor is effective enough. And I think Ataba Rubin, another interesting, intriguing guy who you could kick in or outside probably. And we got, you talk about Billy Winn. I don't know. I think there's enough versatility in that group. John Hughes, another guy who, at least in a reserve role as a nose tackle, if you look at that group as it stands now, you're probably feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I would think so too, Vic. It's a very good group of athletes. I mean, these are guys that all can get off the ball a little bit, have shown some mobility. We've seen both with Taylor and especially with Rubin, the ability to get down. You know, you don't want guys making tackles 12 yards down the field, but my point being that, guys with high motors, guys who are going to continue and be relentless out there, and I think that's what Horton is looking for, and that's what he had in Arizona. I mean, I think when people look at statistically, and I try not to get too caught up in the statistics because they can deceive you as well.
Right.
But, a unit out there in Arizona that had a ton of interceptions and a lot of quarterback pressures, and he really did a good job with a unit that a lot of people didn't look at very much.
Yeah, and now the bigger questions that will remain will be in that linebacking core. So, okay, if we're satisfied that Jabal Sheard could conceivably step into an outside role, there's still another outside spot that has to be addressed that's probably not on this football team. I don't know. Chris Gokong will be interesting, but his issues are, can he recover from that Achilles and then make the conversion? And that's a long process.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And then obviously you start looking towards free agency in the draft, and there appears to be, a number of linebackers, especially towards the top, that the Browns may be able to use that number six pick on. So, yeah, I think, again, Vic, I think there's enough talent on this defense, much like the offensive line that you spoke of earlier, where, you're not starting from scratch. There's some players there. And I think the best thing that I've been telling the Browns fans about this whole situation and what has been another tumultuous offseason, and I know everybody thinks, well, here we go again. Well, this new regime is inheriting a much better situation than any of their predecessors.
Right.
There is talent on both sides of this ball, and I don't think, not even looking through it, with the rose-tinted glasses, I mean, this is a pretty good football team already. It's a young team still. It's still got a long way to go, but again, you're starting out with something tangible.
Yeah, and no question. And DeQuell Jackson fits on that list of guys with the athletic ability that you're going to put in there, and that you're talking about, and then the secondary, Joe Hayden, T.J. mm-hmm. Ward. I mean, I think there's some solid answers that are in place. You're absolutely right. This defense is not coming from ground zero to get to where it needs to be, no doubt. Tom, thank you so much, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Vic, anytime. Thanks a lot.
That was Tom Withers on the Revel Wireless Hotline joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.